Devotional Meditations on the Questions of Jesus. Ever heard someone say, "That's a good question"? As I read the questions of Jesus, I was constantly saying, "That's a good question, and it deserves an honest answer." I'm Don Harris. Join me now, and together we'll examine the questions of Jesus. Question 20. Whether it's easier to say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or "Rise up and walk"? Matthew 9:5, Mark 2:9, Luke 5:23 combined. For whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or to say, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk"? To convince the scribe in this story that his theory on identifying Messiah may be flawed, Jesus offered a question. Whether it's easier to say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or to say, "Rise up and walk"? The answer to this question is difficult, for we know he was not speaking merely of saying either of the choices given, but is asking which is easier to do. For with Jesus, to say or to do was the same thing. It should be that way for us as well. In this case, however, the question was, if I am who I claim to be, I can forgive sin. If I am who I say I am, I can heal diseases as well. To which the scribe, as a scholar of the Old Testament, must attest. It was clear in the scriptures that Messiah would be able to do these things. Then Jesus says, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Then he saith to the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house." And immediately he rose up before them, and took that whereon he lay, and went forth before them all, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion. We have seen strange things today."
What are you looking for? Where is your faith? Why did you doubt? These are some of the most probing questions ever asked, but even more significant is who it is that asked them: Jesus, the Son of God. If you want to embark on a journey of discovery that will impact your life, listen to the questions that Jesus asked.
The questions of Christ became a curiosity to me because of their depth and scope, but more so because of who asked them. Albeit some of the questions asked by Jesus Christ were rhetorical, that is, ask for effect, or ask more to provoke thought than to solicit an answer. Some questions Christ posed were asked merely because he wanted an answer. For some, it makes them uneasy to think that Jesus did not know the answer in advance. We've been taught that Jesus knew everything, as if he were some sort of mind reader or telepathic. The scriptures do not support this idea. It is therefore only conjecture. Poor conjecture, in my opinion. When the scriptures state, "Jesus knew their thoughts," as in Luke 6:8 and Matthew 12:25, they simply speak of perception. Jesus was infinitely wise and extraordinarily perceptive, and he knew mankind better than they knew themselves. As John states so perfectly, "But Jesus knew all men, for he knew what was in man." Jesus asked questions of the people in the Bible's stories to fulfill the will of God, and that was, as it remains with us, to bring the chosen ones closer to his Father. With this devotional, you can experience a daily exchange of thought with the Christ of the Bible, leading you closer to him, revealing his ways, his thoughts, and eventually, if he wills it so, his Father. I've been frustrated with books that assume that I, the reader, have the same literary background as the author. I want you to feel no such annoyance. There'll be no quotes from Greek poetry here, but you will find an abundance of scripture. May I assume that you have a familiarity with the gospel accounts of the life of Christ? If you doubt your level of familiarity and want to reread the Gospels, this devotional will make a good companion for such an endeavor. The context and background of each story will prove to be a rich source as well. What a wonderful journey writing this was for me. It was always a joy to discover a new question and explore it. When the end of the Gospels was drawing near, I felt a sadness as if I was losing a magnificent opportunity to visit with the Savior each morning. As I edited the work, going back through it and reading it as you will, I was pleased to find my experiences repeated and yet somehow were richer than before. I'm happy to share these devotionals with you. I would love to know that you received them in the same richness of spirit that I did.
If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com. It's an investment that will encourage you to listen to Jesus. Now let's rejoin Don with more from The Questions of Jesus.
If I am who I claim to be, I can forgive sin. If I am who I say I am, I can heal diseases as well. Then Jesus says, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Then he saith to the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house." And immediately he rose up before them, and took that whereon he lay, and went forth before them all, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion. We have seen strange things today." Now what will that poor scribe do? The man has just seen Messiah's prophecies come to pass before his own eyes, and he's left with no other alternative but to believe. The record here says they glorified God and were filled with fear. This is the same reaction any of us would have had. Messiah came with a long and detailed list of prophecies that he would fulfill. These prophecies were misunderstood and misapplied and caused nearly a whole nation to miss the Messiah. Jesus was not averse to proclaiming his familiarity with these prophecies and attaching his life and works as fulfillment. Read this story, it recorded in Luke 4:16-22. And he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say to them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" As he traveled, he never missed a genuine opportunity to use this anointing. Through this, he was seen by those of open heart as the Messiah, and to those of closed mind as a blasphemer, lawbreaker, a man gluttonous and drunken. The honest folk received him gladly under this premise. When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? Miracles showed them and us that his power exceeded the norm. But what is that to us today? Today, Jesus, the Messiah, is still the only healer, and he is the only one who forgives sin. When Jesus asked the question, whither is easier, to say arise and walk, or thy sins be forgiven thee? We can see his objective was to demonstrate his authority to do either or both at will. There's more to glean from this question of Jesus. What we must draw from this story is that the one who has the power to heal has power to save. What we can draw from his question is that one will be as easy to accomplish as the other. Jesus is uniquely qualified to effect conversion of the soul, proven by his ability to heal. It's he alone who has this power and the sovereign will to use it on our behalf. We are to learn that we are desperately helpless in both of these situations. We can save our soul from destruction as easily as we can make a lame man walk again. Both of these are so far from our level of ability, it's ludicrous to attempt either one. Today, it is commonly taught to play games of forgiveness in our mind. It's not uncommon to hear that we can make ourselves better through inner healing or by forgiving ourselves. Unfortunately, neither is possible. Our guilty conscience before God does indeed wreak havoc with our health and well-being, but forgiveness and healing are gifts from God, given to those who seek forgiveness from Him. It is, after all, His law that is broken. It would be foolish to tell people to forgive themselves when they transgress against their fellow man. But it's borderline blasphemy to instruct them to do so when they sin against their Creator. Forgiveness is due only to the one who has offended. What good can come from someone trying to alleviate the condemnation of God by forgiving himself? One under the condemnation of the judge of all the earth needs to seek the forgiveness in his court alone. To attempt to speak to your own paralyzed legs to cause them to leap and lift you from the floor will likely prove to be a disappointment, unless, of course, you're told to do so by Christ. It is with that futility in mind that you should approach the idea of effecting your own salvation or forgiveness. It should seem as impossible to you to forgive your own sin as to infuse strength into an inert limb. Forgiveness is a gift of God in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. Christ, sought and found, will answer all the questions of sin, forgiveness, and guilt. To attempt to remove guilt by the pretense of forgiving yourself will never have lasting results, to say nothing of eternal value. When you attempt to better yourself, forgive yourself, or in any way attempt to bring about your own salvation, it would behoove you to ponder this question of Jesus, if only for a few minutes. Whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise up and walk?
If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com.
Thank you for joining us. This is Don Harris, inviting you to join us again next time as we examine the next in the series from the book On the Questions of Jesus.